Tell me a bit more about this tour and what makes it necessary in your view.
Well, a group of first-time legislators from Southeast Illinois, Blaine Wellhauer, Chris Miller, Dan Calkins, myself. We got Brad Heilbrook included, and we're just sick and tired of the way Illinois is doing business, and we desire to we want to get the word out. We want to let people know that there is hope for Illinois. They need to, you know, do their due diligence in this process, this constitutional process. They need to, you know, show up to vote. They need to get educated on what to vote for. They need to encourage their friends and family and make sure everyone within their realm is registered to vote, that they indeed do show up to vote. So this progressive tax is we believe it is detrimental to the future of Illinois. If it gets passed, it's just another torpedo to the side of the ship of Illinois, and it's just going to do a lot of damage. It's going to be hurtful for the families of Illinois. The corruption, the ethics, these judgeship races that we're looking at across the state. You know, Illinois has problems, so if we want to address those problems or figure out those problems, we have to look at what caused those problems. And we believe that it's just been years and years of unethical behavior and bad rule from Illinois government, and ultimately Illinois voters, you know, are responsible for that. So it's kind of a wake-up call across the state that there's hope, and that we want to get people on board with us as we fight this fight.
You alluded to some of it, but are there any other specific concerns you've heard from constituents leading up to this election?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My wife and I were in Humboldt Park last week, right on the west side, right in Chicago, and there was a faith and family partnership meeting, and one of the larger churches hosted it. There were several elected city and state officials from the area. So they basically formed a panel, and they took the first part of the program and just, told what their job responsibilities were and a little bit of a biography about themselves. And then the 25-plus ministers that were in the crowd representing, the entire west side of Chicago. Number one overarching theme was taxes. They said, our people are taxed too much. Our people are moving away. Our people are moving out of even Chicago because of the high taxes and especially out of the state. And what can be done about that? We face high unemployment. We just a lot of DCFS problems, just every problem imaginable. And people are finally getting it. They're beginning to realize that maybe I better be concerned about this. So taxes first and foremost. You know, we stare this punishment tax amendment in the face, and we know for a fact that the eight other states in the union that have a quote unquote fair progressive punishment tax, that they also share in the top eight rankings, you know, of high taxes and even property taxes. So people are tired of government mishandling their funds. It's time for the state of Illinois to, spend within its means and give families a break. And, I personally truly believe that, Governor Pritzker is trying to put Illinois at that ruinous level, hoping for a federal bailout. So you couple all that with the simple fact that we look at this COVID situation, and all the states around us are open and opening, nursing homes and facilities are open and opening. Yet here in Illinois, he desires to continue to clamp down and shut down. So it's also our desire to get the word out that Monday. The judge that had the case in Springfield, her name's escaped me. She threw the case out. Governor Pritzker asked for the case of Judge McKinney in Clay County to be vacated. She refused to do that. She says no, it stands, it's valid. So now they're Governor Pritzker is going to go take other means to try to argue. The constitutional basis of which the very case asserted with he himself being unconstitutional with his actions.
Cases of COVID-19 are continuing to rise. What proposals do you think would help reduce transmission?
Well, I think it's interesting that many states throughout the union, number one, have never had any shutdowns, have never did the extent of testing. I contend that it's not the more of the testing that's needed. I contend that it's, we work through this thing, and because the death, the hospitalizations, we're talking about something with a less than 1.5% infection rate. I think this thing's overblown, and I'm concerned about that. So we see that in our numbers. We say the numbers continuing to rise, but yet you take Region 5 that is going to be shut down as of Thursday. Those we're looking at the 8% rate that they have to be looking at. But that's one thing that I argue with the Illinois Department of Public Health is the simple fact that it's the people in the southern part of the state, the only people showing up getting tested are the people who have a reason to come and get tested. They're not feeling well, and it seems like the Illinois Department of Public Health would rather everybody get tested frequently, and that just doesn't seem to be the mindset of downstate Illinois. So, I guess my argument is the contention of just, is there a problem? We look back in earlier presidential administrations, in the late 2000s when testing was finally ceased because it just simply wasn't getting us anywhere. This is this virus is simply not going anywhere. You don't close your doors and hope it goes away because it's not going to. And again, just the simple data, the facts of the death rates, the hospitalizations, the ICUs, everything that we were told to initially watch, nothing's panning out as the governor suggested. So it seems like they continue then to change and change boundaries and switch their metrics. And now all of a sudden, with a 3-day rolling average of a hospital or positivity rate, continue to close down areas and regions.
How do you propose to incorporate mental health professionals into the way we police our communities?
That is an awesome question. And unfortunately, because of Illinois' rogue spending, let's think about Illinois. I'm going to contend that Illinois does absolutely nothing right. And that's the silence. So we have two other pandemics going on rather than the health scare, the death scare of the true of the COVID. And that's number one, the financial pandemic of the ruinous business and the lives. And then number two, it's the mental health problem. So, we've yanked are not having school. Kids are staying home. School is the number one source of with children at home. Things have been shut down and locked down for months to the extent that families that have loved ones that have mental health needs have not adequately been given what they need. And I'm going to contend that last year, Illinois is just simply Governor Pritzker came in, named new directors, paid them much, much more, and we today have more problems than we have ever had. So money in the budget has got to be prioritized. We've got education, we've got infrastructure, and we've got health needs. Those obviously are at the top of the list of what occupies most of the budget. But then we have to simply sit down. Illinois, every department in Illinois and Illinois policy government, I call it an inch deep and a mile wide. We keep everyone has needs, and we keep establishing and addressing those needs with new departments, new hires, new programs. And we've got to stop that, and we've got to prioritize where the group is at in the mental health community that needs that help the most, and then begin to rein things in so that we can actually do meet their needs adequately, because we've never met anyone's needs adequately. Because someone comes up with a problem, the solution is throw more money at it, and the problem continues, and then another problem, arises, and we just keep throwing money at stuff, and there's no accountability to make sure that government agencies are truly meeting the needs. And this COVID situation has definitely magnified that dramatically. So it's accountability, and it has to start at the governor's office, and there is just simply none, and prioritization of of government monies, state agencies, to see who does what needs scaled down, and where the needs are at, and that takes a conversation with the community. And I'm going to sit here and contend that that's not taking place either.
What do you propose to do to improve the cultural competence of law enforcement?
Well, accountability is first and foremost with government. I think the problem with law enforcement is much like the supposed problem with COVID. You've got a few instances. You have one instance with someone who is should have been dealt with. I think in just about every case that we're finding, there's a situation that should have been dealt with, and it within a department with someone who had problems, and it was not dealt with, so it escalated into something that has caused the problems that we have. But beyond that, we've got to teach our people to whether that starts in school. I know in the rural schools, I don't know if they do this all across the state, but DARE programs teach these children, teach society, to simply honor and respect law enforcement. When law enforcement comes up with a problem or a need, I've seen these videos, you've seen the videos where they ask for someone's ID, and because that's what they have to establish first and foremost. They simply are trying to establish who the person is and make sure that they're not there illegally. That's their job. And unfortunately, due to the lack of respect of society, people ignore that. They thumb their nose at, and then it escalates into something very unnecessary. So I don't know that I particularly I will not point the finger solely at law enforcement. We can look at a few of the problems that have arisen, and I believe I can pinpoint accountability, things that should have been taking place with particular law enforcement officers within the department. But then after that, we've got a breakdown of respect, within society that has to be addressed, because we cannot. Otherwise, what's the solution? The other solution is, it seems to me, that you're becoming a lawless society, and we simply know that doesn't work.
What is your plan to reform law enforcement to ensure that officers are held accountable for misconduct and to make police disciplinary records transparent to the public?
Well, I think the court does a good job with that. I mean, again, we're talking about a problem that is propagated by, people who don't want to, be held accountable by law enforcement. So, unfortunately, I don't know that government's the answer to that. I think a lot of these times we have the city municipalities, we've got mayors, we've got local units of government that, pick and choose and hire and make mandates. I think if communities were more involved and showed up to city council meetings, showed up in times like that and became educated on how the process works, many of these situations that have escalated as they have, I think I believe I've seen and discovered and confident that it's always a situation that we hear the particular officer had a history and it wasn't dealt with. So people simply, if someone is in that position, they simply lose their job, and the police chief, the mayor, the city council, has to be more involved to make sure that if there are problems, they have to be addressed. It's again, we look at government to be the solution. The solution to all this is we, the people getting involved, the people speaking up, the people sitting down and developing councils and listening groups and talking about these problems instead of waiting until, one instance happens that is a tragic and a bad situation, as we've seen.
Two more questions. First, what will you do to ensure important public health decisions are based on science?
I love that. I'll make sure that the science is accurate. The science is true. I have not seen that at all from the Illinois Department of Public Health or from the state of Illinois. So my science, your science, whose science are we going to look at? So common sense has to be introduced. We've got to, you know, we've got to look at the consequences of every decision that we make. And we talked about some of those with the financial pandemic of businesses being closed. We've got a new, you know, we've got to, I talked today of being on this Restore Illinois tour in the southern parts of the state. Had several people come up to us and talk about, you know, their landlords. They've worked all their lives. They've acquired properties, you know, several housing units to rent. That's their retirement. That's their income. And now, again, because of a few bad actors, one or two renters that decide that they can't or don't want to pay, you know, their rent. And now all of a sudden doesn't have to. The governor just got through extending that through November 22nd. So again, it's the people, you know, standing up, speaking up, making a difference, and as well as that's why we have such a divide with this science. You know, I can find you I've been quoted many times from Harvard and Oxford and Stanford, yet I can turn right around and find a conflicting report that suggests, you know, the opposite of any argument that you want to find. The reality is that we look at, we were told there were going to be millions of deaths. We were told that the hospitals were going to be full. ICUs were going to be, you know, overwhelmed. And instead, what do we wind up with today? We've got many hospitals out there in complete financial ruin. We've got hospitals searching for trying to find work staff because many doctors and nurses have to stay home because they can't find babysitters for their children whenever you know, schools are not meeting. So so we got some problems. We are a free people, and you know, I believe it's time that we start living that way again instead of in fear as much as we are, because I simply have not seen the results. It's very, very difficult to point at a COVID death and prove that it is, you know, COVID alone is what caused that. Very difficult. It's about as easy to, you know, find yourself in dealing with a common flu as it is with COVID. So, you know, the whole situation with science is certainly a difficult conversation.
And to wrap things up, how do you propose to restore a sense of responsible citizenship? This is issues as diverse as resistance to wearing masks and street demonstrations. And how do you propose to restore or create a sense that we're all in this together and a shared sense of responsibility for the common good?
Yeah, well, I appreciate that question, because we certainly have not seen that exhibited by our leaders, both federally and state. It's interesting that, you know, we're told not to wear masks, we're told to stay home, yet... you know, early on, our governor, you know, finds himself marching in side by side in maskless parades, and then attends. We see him, you know, those families at restaurants, both in Florida and Wisconsin. And we certainly have, you know, failed leadership right now in Illinois that, you know, desires to be completely inconsistent with the message. I think, again, I believe we go back to being free Americans. That's what this country is based upon. We you know, we have absolutely no government has no authority to come in and shut anything down and to tell anyone what to do. And when that happens, we simply go back to the history books and we see how that panned out. So we're smart people. That's just simply all there is to it. And I've seen nothing but complete inconsistencies and plans to ruin business through pretty well everything that I've seen coming out of the state of Illinois. You walk in a grocery store and anywhere else, and you know, you pick up a box of cereal or a box of cookies or sodas, and you put it back on the box and you move around and do your shopping. And who's to say that person, you know, it's just it, you know, somebody else comes along and picks something up. Yet we contend that these masks. I'm a farmer. I've wore these masks all my life in grain bins. I know exactly what the N95, I know what they do, what they don't do, yet I see people wearing essentially, you know, pantyhose and stockings around their face, and the state government says that, you know, that's okay, that works. That is an inconsistent message, and I see it as an M message of control, and I personally, as a free American, don't like it.